earth is yours and the fullness thereof. It's yours because you made it. It's yours because you sustain it. But in the riches of your generosity, you share it with us generation by generation. Teach us this beautiful habit that comes right out of your divine heart, the habit of generosity. And I ask it in Christ's name, amen. I watched a National Geographic movie this week. Any National Geographic fans? Man, do they make great movies or what? So these two guys, they're kind of, one is a writer and the other is a photographer, and they've done some big adventures. But they decided they were going to hike the Grand Canyon. Now, if you go on the Colorado River, it's about a 250-mile trip. If you hike it, it's about 750 miles. And most of it doesn't have trails. And very rarely can you walk by the water. You got to wander your way through the canyons. So these two guys got it in their head, hey, we're young, we're healthy, we can do it. And the first lap they went on, they went with a guide. They had to drop out. It wasn't what they thought it was at all. One of the guys had a blister on his foot so big, you could put a silver dollar in that thing. So then they had to rethink their whole plan. And they divided it up into four sections. And they filmed and wrote about hiking from one end of the Grand Canyon to the other. I'm kind of like them, I think. I could do that. But as I watched, I was stunned at how ridiculously awesome the Grand Canyon is. It's ridiculous. They would show the sun rising over the canyon and how it would hit the rock, and different layers of rock turn different colors. It would show these intricate carvings of nature in canyon walls. The whole thing was beautiful. In fact, while I was watching it, I thought, the Sistine Chapel can't even begin to compete with this. Teddy Roosevelt declared the Grand Canyon a national park. And I'm glad he did. There are some places that are so beautiful, they have to be taken care of for every generation. Because I'm a Christian, I thought to myself, this is just another expression of the creativity of God. I know that might fall on your ear as odd. Do you say the artist didn't produce the painting because he used a variety of brushes and trowels and other tools to produce the art? Do you say the sculptor didn't produce the piece because he used chisels and tools and sanding and grinding. I know God used the means of water and wind and time and ice and erosion. I know he used those means. But I'm looking beyond the tools to see the art, the beauty, the majesty. And then I thought, art's expensive. Art is expensive. Sharon and I have two paintings. We bought them both at different anniversaries, and they're original paintings. And we paid more for them than we should, but they're expressions of somebody's creative genius. Art is expensive unless you're God, and then he just shares it with everybody without charge. America won't let you into some parks without a fee. But God has never collected a fee on any of the beauty and the wonder and the majesty that he created to raise our hearts and minds above the mundane. He gives it away free. He is a generous God. And I want to say, generosity is a habit that if you want to be a follower of God, you have to develop. You can't be like God and not be generous. I want to be generous because I want to be like God. Church, I want to be like God. So Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 6:17, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. The habit of generosity doesn't rest on what I have. It rests on my hope in God. Do you remember our second habit when we talked about loving God and people more than things? Do you remember what Paul said? Those who set their desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. When I love things more than I love God and people, I'm in a bad space, church. I am in a bad space. So Paul warns us. The love of things, more than the love of God and people, makes us arrogant. We begin to consider that I'm higher than other people, not because of the quality of my soul, but because of the substance I have around me. Church, what you own doesn't make you better than anyone. Do you get that? It is arrogant to think I'm better than you are because my house is newer. I'm better than you are because my car is more trendy. I'm better than you are. My boat is bigger than your boat. Can you see that this kind of thinking, that I'm better because of what I have, is damaging to the soul. And generosity perishes because I don't consider other people worthy of my stuff. I won't be generous because I think I'm better. And I look at other people and say, they don't deserve my stuff. Don't tell me you don't think this lady and her children deserve the house, because I don't care. That is a terrible way to think. We are generous, not because we think we are better than other people, and we're generous not because we think people deserve something or don't deserve something. We're generous because we have a quality of heart that is just like Christ. And Christ never said to me, when you get good enough, I'll be generous to you. When you're like this, I'll be generous to you. In fact, what Christ says to me is, my generosity will make you better. I want to remind you that Christ humbled himself to become generous. He wasn't just generous, he was generous to the place that he humbled himself. His generosity pushed him to make himself less than others, not more than others. And it stuns me. It absolutely stuns me. I was reading the Gospels this week, and I read about the feeding of the 5,000. And for the first time, it struck me, the text is all about other people eating. It doesn't say whether Jesus ate that day or not. Does anybody find that odd? I've read that passage hundreds of times, and it dawned on me, the text is all about Jesus making sure other people ate, but it doesn't say a thing whether he ate or not. Church, that is the humbling generosity of Christ. And then Paul said, don't put your hope on uncertain riches. The value of things are unclear, so hope becomes a gamble. Have you watched the stock market at all? What is gold worth? When I was a boy, gold was worth $36 an ounce. If only I would have bought some. And Bitcoin, what is Bitcoin worth? It's worth whatever somebody will pay for it that day. Do you understand that all these things are artificially valued? And because they're artificially valued, you can't put your hope in them. Generosity perishes because I'm not sure I have enough because I am not sure about the value of stuff. I can't share with you because I'm not sure I'll have enough myself. That is a sure expression of I've put my hope in things and not God. Can you see it, church? And then Paul said, instead of putting your hope in stuff, put your hope in God. Because he richly provides all good things. For what? For what reason? For your enjoyment. I want you to hear this, church. God is generous beyond your need. He's generous to the point of your enjoyment. Do you have a heart to hear that? God is generous beyond your need. He's generous to the point, I want to be so generous that you're able to enjoy the short life I've given you to live. Church, that's the habit I want to have. I want to be generous beyond necessity. I want to be generous to the point that my life makes the life of others more joyful. What is generosity? Generosity is an attitude toward life. Verse 18. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. What do I mean by the word generosity? If you look it up, it comes from the base word that means noble character. The gen part of it is like the gen part in gentleman. It carries with it the idea of nobility. A noble character that shares itself richly with people. It shares time, ability, and money. It shares encouragement, usefulness, and well-being. The generous person isn't just somebody who gives to charity. They have a generous attitude toward life. They're generous with their time. They're generous with their ability. They are generous with encouragement. Some of you need to stop being so generous with criticism and be a little more generous with encouragement. They're generous in ways that make them useful to what God wants to do in the world. And they're generous in well-being. Every time I'm around some people, I just feel better. They rub off on me. Church, they rub off on me. They're generous with well-being. Generosity is an attitude toward life. The generous soul does good in many different ways and at every opportunity in life. Are you generous with your family? Wives, do you have a generous attitude toward your husband? Or have you set the bar so high he doesn't have a chance? Brothers, are you generous with your wife? Are you generous with your kindness? Are you generous with your gentleness? Are you generous with your personhood? Do you hear me? Generosity is not giving somebody a nice birthday present once a year. It is a daily habit of sharing what is best of who you are with your family. Are you generous at work? Or are you the first one to say, that's not my job? Are you generous with your friends? Are you generous at church? Are you generous in life? When people encounter you, what is the expectation of what being around you is going to be like? Who's always harping on a cause? Every time anybody's around you, you got to persuade them to your cause. Are you the kind of person who looks at the Grand Canyon and says, big ditch? Or is there something alive and noble in you? And you're looking around at life, and you're paying attention to what is beautiful and good, and you're generously acknowledging it and encouraging it. Church, you don't have to be a genius to be a critic. You got to be generous to be an encourager. Let them be rich in good works. The generous soul defines wealth differently than the selfish soul. For the generous soul, wealth equals a life lived well, full of doing good. You are as rich as the life you lived. I don't care how much money you have, if you're miserable, you're not rich. I don't care how many possessions you have. I don't care where you live and what you pride yourself in. If you're living a miserable life, you're not living a rich life. Conversely, I don't care what you don't have. If you're living well, you're living well. Church. When Sharon and I were younger, we were broke all the time. I look back on it. I thought it was the worst thing that could be. I look back on it and I go, those weren't such bad times. Anybody? Huh? When you remember being broke, you remember being poor. You remember when you scraped together whatever you could get to buy a Whopper and had them cut it in half? But that was when Whoppers were really Whoppers. So here's what I'm saying. In the garden, God said, I created you to be like me. And that means you have dominion over things. But we fell, and we stopped being like God, and we let things take dominion over us. We stopped owning things, and things started to own us. Church. We stop seeing these things as a resource to live life well. And we started defining these things as the meaning of life. And we defrauded ourselves and we misrepresented God. And then Paul is trying his very best to get this point across. So he uses a word that's only used one time in the whole Greek New Testament. The word that gets translated generosity, this is the only time this word is used in the entire Greek New Testament. And in fact, I looked it up this week, and it is it's used in Aristotle's book on ethics. And I don't need to tell you that Aristotle was the ultimate categorizer, and so he had to have 500 words for everything. It's a rare word. It's a word that's supposed to stop you and ask you, what exactly does that mean? Like there are English words you read and you go, I'm not sure what that means. I need to look it up. What it literally means is a quickness to give whatever is good in that moment. If I translate this as literal as I can, this word generous means a quickness to give what is good in that moment. So in any moment of life, I can't predict what the good thing is. But as I'm living life, I'm in that moment, and it dawns on me it would be a good thing to share this right now. It would be a good thing to share a few minutes with a lonely person and be generous with my time. It would be a good thing to listen to a discouraged person. It would be a good thing to share my ability with this person who needs some help. It's the idea of living life with the awareness that there are many opportunities in life that in that moment, if I have a generous heart, I'm going to share what is good for that moment. Church? Does anybody aspire for that to be a habit in their life? I want to live life with an awareness, and in every moment, I would like to share what is good in that moment. Generosity is the foundation for true living. Paul says, verse 19, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Church, generosity pays off. Consider these four things. Generosity creates lasting treasure. Christ said, do not treasure up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But treasure up for yourself treasures in heaven. Listen. For where a person's treasures are, there will their heart be also. Two, generosity pays eternal dividends. Young people, listen to me. I'm going to tell you something really smart. Don't spend all your money. Invest some of it. Dividends are beautiful things. You end up getting paid money for the money they paid you. That's dividends. Young people, listen to me. I'll make you rich. If you have $5 and you invest it, they pay you some interest. Not much, but you get more interest than if you just waste it. Now you got $5.10. They pay you interest on the 10 cents. Then they pay you interest on that. And then they pay you interest on that. And if you do this right throughout life, you end up making more money on the interest than the money you put in there. Adults, would somebody give me an amen? You end up making more money on the money they paid you than the money you put in there. It's called dividends. It's called compound interest. It's the surest course. All right, I'm done. When I'm rich in good works, it pays dividends. It pays dividends. It pays dividends. Do you get it? My life right now is paying dividends on the investments that people made in me years ago. The people I'm investing in today, it will pay dividends long after I'm gone. Can you hear it, church? Three, generosity is the foundation of a quality life. I tell you, I look around at the world, and generous people live a better quality of life than selfish people. If you don't believe me, open your eyes and look around. Generous people are always happier than selfish people. Finally, generosity prepares you for the life of the age. Remember I told you eternal life isn't a good translation. It should be the life of the age. It's not how long, it's quality. Do you understand when you go to heaven, you're going to be hanging around with ridiculously generous people? Are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? In heaven, they don't brag about the car they drive. They brag about the service they do for others. In heaven, they don't brag about how many followers they have on their social media. They brag about the kindness they've shown to someone, the gentle spirit they had, that they gave kindly to a person in need. Every act of generosity prepares me to live forever in the kingdom of the most generous being that you can imagine. I want to say selfishness does not pay off. Paul warned us in Romans chapter 2, but because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience in well-doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality, he will give the life of the age. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. I don't have anything to say about that. Other than he has said it very plainly. Generosity pays off. Selfishness doesn't. And then he says one more time, take hold of the true life. Do you remember verse 12? Fight the good fight. Struggle the good struggle. Take hold of eternal life to which you are called. You see, through generosity, I take hold of the life of the age. I begin to live the life of the age when it makes sense to me to be just like Christ and be generous. Church, in the very same way I take hold of the life of the age by doing what is right, in the very same way that I take hold of the life of the age by being pious, the very same way I take hold of the life of the age by having faith and having love and patiently persevering and persuading myself to be calm, in the very same way I take hold of the life of the age by being generous. Life with Christ is based on his generosity to us. The whole Christian life begins with an act of divine generosity. Christ said, I'll take your sin and generously give you my righteousness. That is the beginning of all Christian life. Do you get it? He took what I deserved and gave me what I didn't deserve. Please stop talking to me about does somebody deserve generosity or not. You would not get into heaven if God asked you, do you deserve my generosity? It is an act of incredible grace where he says, you don't deserve it, but I'm generous enough to do it anyway. We begin to live the life of Christ as we become as generous with others as he is with us. Church, generosity is not based on what you have or don't have. It's based on who you are. Generosity is not based on what you have or don't have. It's based on a quality of life that you passionately want to live. Because it's right, it's beautiful, it's good, it's Christ-like. It makes your family better. It makes the world better. And I believe we would all live richer lives if we'd commit ourselves to the habit of generosity. What does that mean? Giving what is right in every unique opportunity of life. Our dear Heavenly Father, I do call upon your name. I do entreat you with an earnest soul. I pray that my commitment to selfishness would perish. And I pray that I could develop this habit of giving what is right in every moment of life. Giving time, giving ability, giving money, giving encouragement, giving usefulness, and giving well-being. And I pray that I could begin to live the life of Christ in this world, and it would be evident that the generosity of Christ is at work in my soul. I pray for the same thing for the people who are here this morning. Would you please grant each of us that gift? I pray for those who are online that you'd whisper to them in ways that only you can. And I pray that the world would be better this year because there are hundreds and thousands of us who are living out the life of Christ in acts of generosity. And I ask it through Jesus Christ our Lord.